Narayana Gauravakta Vrindikijaya. Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Govinda Shama Pandarada Kadigiti Govardhan Kijaya. Shri Vrindavan Dham Kijaya. Nabu Dham Kijaya. Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Kijaya. Nanda Gauri Vaishnava Vrindikijaya. Samavetta Bhakti Vrindikijaya. Gopri Manandi. All glories to Samadavari. All glories to Samadavari. All glories to Samadavari. All glories to Shigurun Shigurunga. Glories to Shila Bhagavan. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stavadana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shilasu Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 15, verse 108. Diksha purashchara viri apekka na kare.
Diksha purashchara viri apekka na kare.
Jivasparse achandala shabare udare.
Jivasparse achandala shabare udare. Diksha purashchara viri apekka na kare. Jivasparse achandala shabare udare.
Diksha prasarya vidhi apekshana kare.
Diksha prasarya vidhi apekshana kare.
Jivasparshe achandala sabare udhare.
Jivasparshe achandala sabare udhare.
One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man of the lowest class can be delivered. For important, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī explains Diksha in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Divya Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kurya Papasya Sanchayam Tasma Dikshetu Saprota Dashikaya Tattva Kovidaya. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all reactions caused by sinful activity. A person expert in the study of the revealed scripture knows this process as Diksha. The regulative principles of Diksha are explained in Hari Bhakti Vilas and Bhakti Sundarva as stated. Even though born in a Brahmin family, one cannot engage in Vedic rituals without being initiated and having a sacred thread. Although born in a Brahmin family, one becomes a Brahmin only after initiation and the sacred thread ceremony. Unless one is initiated as a Brahmin, one cannot worship the holy name properly. According to the Vaishnava regulated principles, one must be initiated as a Brahmana. Hari Bhakti Vilas quotes the following injunction from the Vishnu Yamala. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who is not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. The Hari Bhakti Vilas further quotes, it is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything body, mind, intelligence, one must take Vaishnava initiation from him. Bhaktisiddhanta gives the following quotation from Tattvasagar. By chemical manipulation, bell metals turn into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmana. Hari Bhakti Vilas, in discussing the purushchaya process, puts the following verses from the Agastya Sanghita. In the morning, afternoon, and evening, one should worship the deity, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, offer oblations, perform a fire sacrifice, and feed the Brahmanas. These five activities constitute purushcharya. To attain full success, when taking initiation from the spiritual master, one should first perform these purushcharya processes. The word pura means before, and charya means activities. Due to the necessity of these activities, we do not immediately initiate disciples in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. For 6 months, a candidate for initiation must first attend arati and classes in the Shastra, practice the regulated principles, and associate with other devotees. When one is actually advanced in the purushchaya vidhi, he is recommended by the local temple president for initiation. It is not that anyone can be suddenly initiated without meeting the requirements. When one is further advanced by chanting Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds daily, following the regular principles and attending class, he receives the sacred theta for the second six months. In Hare Bhagavata Vilasada stated, without performing the purushottara activities, one cannot become perfect even by chanting this mantra for hundreds of years. But one who has undergone the purushottara vidhi process can attain success very easily. If one wishes to perform his initiation, he must first undergo the purushottara activities. The purushottara process is the life force by which one is successful in chanting the mantra. Without the life force, one can not do anything. Similarly, without the force of purushottara vidhi, no mantra can be perfected. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Sri Jiva Goswami describes the importance of deity worship and initiation as follows. It is Srimad Bhagavatam's opinion that the process of deity worship is not actually necessary, just as the specific descriptions of Pancharatra and other scriptures do not have to be followed. The Bhagavatam enjoins that even without practicing deity worship, one can achieve the complete success of human life by any of the other devotional processes, such as simply offering oneself at the Lord's feet for his protection. Nonetheless, Vaishnavas, following the path of Narada and his successors, endeavor to establish a personal relationship with the Lord by receiving the grace of bona fide spiritual master through initiation. And in this tradition, the devotees are obliged at the time of initiation to begin engaging in deity worship. Although deity worship is not essential, the material conditioning of most candidates for devotional service requires that they engage in this activity. When we consider their bodily and mental conditions, we find that the character of such candidates is impure and their minds are agitated. Therefore, to rectify this material conditioning, the great sage Narada and others have at different times recommended various kinds of regulations for deity worship. Similarly, the Ramarshana Chandrika states, O best of the Brahmanas, even without initiation, preliminary purification of acceptance of the renounced order, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name. In other words, the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engaged in Pancharatrika Vidhi, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon, and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. The more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize that the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the Supreme Soul. At such a time, when one is situated on the absolute platform, one can understand the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. In that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, cannot be identified with the material sound. If one accepts the Hare Krishna Maha mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Although chanting the name is good for both conditioned liberated souls, especially beneficial to the conditioned soul, because by chanting it, one is liberated. A person who chants the holy name is the liberator, he attains all perfection by returning home back to Godhead. In the words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. The offense of chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation process. Although initiation may depend on purushottara or purushottara, the actual chanting of the holy name does not depend on purushottara vidhi or regulative principles. If one chants the holy name even once without committing an offense, he attains all success. During the chanting of the holy name, the tongue must work. Simply by chanting the holy name, one is immediately delivered. The tongue is sevan mukha jiva. It is controlled by service. One whose tongue is engaged in tasting material things and also talking about them cannot use the tongue for absolute realization. With the material senses, one cannot understand the transcendental name of the Lord's form, activities, and pastimes, but one actually engages in devotional service utilizing the tongue of the Lord is revealed. As it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the holy name of Krishna's body and his pastimes cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. They are manifest independently. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class can be delivered. So, what the Lord is stating here is that chanting the name does not require initiation or purushottara vidhi, which is a preliminary purification for diksha. So, we do have diksha commonly performed within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and Lord Chaitanya also took diksha. But at the same time, we clearly understand here that he is saying that to chant the name, you do not need diksha. That does not mean he's condemning the process of diksha, but at the same time, the chanting of the name is independent, and anyone, even if they aren't initiated, can chant the name, and they can get effect from it. So in other words, this having initiation is not a qualification for chanting the name of the Lord. And of course, we find in Prabhupada here quotes in the purport many verses from different places that say you should take diksha and this and that, whatever. At the same time, we see that Jiva Goswami has stated here that actually the name is different. So because the name is Yuga Dharma, this becomes emphasized, and therefore the diksha will have to take a secondary place. Nevertheless, we see that the Goswamis also mention diksha as one of the vidhis. So what is the reason why? So that is explained here in this commentary on the Bhaktisandarbha by Jiva Goswami, where he says that according to the Bhagavatam, actually you don't have to, it's not necessary to worship the deities according to the Pancharatrika vidhi, because you simply chant the name. And as in the case of Ajamil, even by chanting the name without bhakti, he got all of his karmas removed. And by chanting the name, which is non-different from Krishna, you can realize his name, form, qualities, and activities in rasa. So that, there's no diksha involved in that. That means that, of course, archana is a process of deity worship, but, as I said, the main emphasis is on chanting the name in Kali Yuga. So therefore, that becomes the main process. So, and of course, one can get perfection by other processes as well. We have the 64 angas of bhakti, and it is mentioned any of these processes can lead you to prema, if it is done properly. But then we have major processes, the ones that are commonly done, which are very, very powerful. Like, and among them, deity worship is there, along with hearing and chanting, etc. So, still, we find that in the scriptures, the sages such as Narada often recommend deity worship and diksha. The two things go together. The process of diksha is essentially to get mantras by which you can worship a deity. So the two things go together. So when we say you have diksha, then we're implying that you should do deity worship. So if we say diksha is necessary, we say that worshipping the deity is necessary, according to Pancharatrika vidhi. That is the meaning here. So we find in scriptures that Narada Muni recommends deity worship and consequently diksha. So why do they do that? So here Jiva Goswami says, yadyapi sarupato na asti. As a principle, it is not necessary to do that deity worship, since the name is independent and one can get all perfection from it. So theoretically, the chanting the name is perfect in itself, as in the case of Haridas Thakur or something like that. That is so, but it is found that people in general have disturbed minds and low qualities, and they're attached to their material bodies. So to help limit that, the sages have recommended the process of archana. This is, so in other words, an assistant to help one get a steady mind and remove the impurities. Now, of course, we also know that chanting a holy name once can destroy your karmas, etc. So that's there. But to help the process, just as we have hearing and chanting and things going on all simultaneously, so deity worship is also recommended to help the jiva in the material world. So why is this? We have the holy name, and to chant purely, you have to have knowledge of the name, and that's non-different from Krishna, and then you have to know Krishna's form, qualities, activities, knowledge is necessary. If you're chanting Hare Krishna and thinking Shiva, what is the point? You know. So you have to know who Krishna is. So, deity worship helps there because we have a form of the Lord, an actual form. You don't have to imagine the form. Say Shyam Sundar, well, what does Shyam Sundar look like? Beautiful and black. So is he big or is he small or is he fat or is he skinny or what? We don't know. So therefore, we don't have to use our imagination. We can look at the deity, and from that we can understand the nature of the Supreme Lord with our eyes directly. So this is one instance of how the deity worship will help. So therefore, it helps our understanding, and when we say the name, we can think of the deity. We don't have to concoct an image of the Lord. Of course, now we have so many pictures in the book, so that helps also. So, but in this way, we have many aids, but let's say 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, they didn't have these things. And there's a few palm leaf manuscripts, and maybe there was a drawing in there or something, but not much. So the only opportunity maybe would be in the temple with the deity form or on the carvings in the walls of the deity temple. Well, that's why we have all those forms there, so they don't have to imagine anything. They have forms and of all the avatars, etc. So in this way, we have a form of the Lord. That's one thing which will help us. Yeah? And the other is we're actually supposed to ultimately engage in service to the Lord. Yeah? So we, through the name, we realize the form, qualities, activities, and then our service to the Lord. So how do we do that? Yeah? So in deity worship, you can serve the Lord directly. So this gives us an opportunity again to develop our relationship with the Supreme Lord through serving that particular deity we have. So in this way, we can engage our senses without concoction, and it will help us meditate upon the form in our service to the Lord. So this is an assistant to the chanting of the name. So therefore, Archana is also glorified. Even if one is mainly chanting the holy name, Archana is an assistant to that and is very useful. It doesn't say it's absolutely necessary, but at least it is emphasized a lot because it is useful to help the jivas in the material world. So that is the main point here, why Jiva Goswami is speaking like this. So it is based upon this fact here that Lord Chaitanya says holy name is independent and does not require the process of diksha or anything like that. So in the process of diksha, of course, we do have rules and regulations. And the verse is quoted here that according to the rules and regulations, one should perform diksha. By which one gets transcendental knowledge and destroys sin. But we also know that this chanting without diksha also destroys sin, as in the case of Ajamil. And if you take shiksha without initiation, you also destroy your knowledge. If you do any process of bhakti, it also helps destroy ignorance. And so it is not that only diksha will give you divyajnanam and destroy your sins, no. So what the next verse after this, which is not quoted here, but which is in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, is therefore you take the mantra. So it's in the mantra particularly that you'll get your divyajnanam, because there's the name of Krishna there. So again, Krishna's name shows up. So the name of Krishna is there, and through that you establish a relationship with that Lord, because it says Krishnaya Namaha, etc. So we establish our relationship of service to the Supreme Lord through a particular mantra. So in other words, we get sambandha gyan, or this divya gyanam, through the mantra. Then we do the deity worship and we can destroy our sinful reactions. But we can get sambandha not only by the mantra, we can also get it by shiksha, without initiation. So, therefore, this verse does not mean that only through diksha you get divyajnanam and destroy your sins. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you do this by getting the mantra in this case. But there are other ways of doing it. So, in this way, the process of chanting is glorified over the process of deity worship and initiation. That's the main point here. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement with material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Text 110, the holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberated people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that, save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available for everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation. It's identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediately effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purushacharya regulator principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. This is a verse from Padyavali, an anthology of verses by Srila Rupa Goswami. So this, again, summarizes what was previously said. The name is independent of everything else, including Diksha. Huh? 11 also? Oh. Lord Chaitanya then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava, therefore you should offer all respects to him. Her partner is Upadeshamrita Srila Rupa Goswami stage Krishnati Yasya Giri Tam Manas Padrieta Dikshasti Chet Pranati Jis Cha Bhajantam Isham. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated in the transcendental platform, chanting the holy name with faith and obeisance and following the instruction of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy, but a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offensively will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnava may be imperfect. One who chants the holy name of the Lord offensively is all perfect. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has not got to be considered pure, unalloyed Vaishnava. It is a duty of the household to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnava. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. The one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is to be a Vaishnava, therefore you should offer all respects to him. So originally he said, one who chants even once is considered a Vaishnava. So this is reiterated here. Eka Krishna na Muke Anjar. One who has chanted once, he is therefore a Vaishnava. So this glorifies the Vaishnava over who chants and the chanting process over all the other processes in bhakti. And because you just chant once and you become a Vaishnava. This statement again we'll find in Haridas Thakur also when he glorifies the holy name of Lord Chaitanya also covers similar statements. He also makes similar statements to this. Yeah, well, obviously, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, when you talk about guru, we mean someone who has knowledge coming in the line of our authorities, our acharyas, not from some other sampradaya or a non-Vaishnava sampradaya. There are many gurus, there's, you know, impersonalist gurus, etc. So you take initiation, say, now I got a Krishna mantra from Shankaracharya's mantra or something. So that doesn't make any sense to us. It's not a bona fide guru in the sense that he's not a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya.
Well, do the deity worship increases attachment faster than chanting for the deity?
No. It helps.
Does he need the support of the deity?
good suggestion.
Depends on the maturity of the
deity. Yeah, I said, yeah. Obviously, some people may have more dependence on the deity worship or want to do it more than others. That's obvious. And some people never do deity worship properly. So that there's different types of people.
Yeah.
And
initiation
is another important aspect. Yeah. So from that perspective. What? That's why chanting is the main focus, but daily worship is also very, very important because like most people are disturbed and they have, you know, so maybe they need a temple for. So that's, of course, a secondary reason in one sense, but for preaching it is very good. So in India, you don't have a temple, then, you know, who are you? What organization are you? So you have a temple, then you get recognized. So Prabhupada established temples for that reason. That's one good reason. The other, maybe say negative reason, is when you have temples, then you have to initiate more people. And then you have to concentrate on the initiation and not on the chanting of the holy name. And then you have to emphasize the deity worship more. So that in one sense is a negative thing, in the sense that if we overemphasize deity worship or stop chanting or minimize it, then we're not following the principles of Lord Chaitanya. Okay? So the main effort is to spread the name of Krishna, not spread deity worship everywhere. Okay? So we have to keep the focus. They personally did not do the worship in many cases, say, or at least they did not. They did worship, but they did not concentrate on building those temples. The rich followers did it. So they said, okay, they engaged them in service and they built the temples, and then they just had their pujaris do the worship there and establish worship that way. One lakh one. Where is that? Oh, Haridas Thakuras. Well, that's the potency of Haridas Thakuras. Four features of sound. Para. With the name. Well, this is not just the name, that's with any spiritual sound. According to mentioned in Bhagavatam and also in Tantras, various tantras, that spirit sound, the real sound is spiritual, but comes into the material world, and then it takes four forms. The para is the original spiritual sound, pasanti is the next subtle stage, madhyama is the next stage, and the final stage is vaikari, which means audible sound. When we speak the word like Om or chant the Vedas and we hear it, that is called vaikari. So the original sound is not audible to the ear. A spiritual sound without the material vibration along with it. And the final one is the vaikari, where we actually can hear it. And so it goes through four stages. Well, that is Prabhupada says that realization means when we realize that Krishna is non-different from the name. So when we chant the name, then we realize Krishna.
Have you seen that guy today?
Yeah. During chanting, is it proper to only hear the sound vibration, not think about Krishna? Well, the whole process of all the vidis of bhakti is to remember the Lord at all times. So if we don't do that, then the goal is missed. So if we try to not think of Krishna, what are we going to think of? Brahman? Nothing? So if you think like that, then that's what you achieve through Krishna. You'll achieve nothing. You think of nothing and you chant Krishna, 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 and you'll achieve nothing. That's what you achieve. So the whole purpose of knowledge is to understand that Krishna means form, qualities, and activities of Krishna. That's why we have the Bhagavatam, so we understand who Krishna is. So if we separate Krishna from the name Krishna from that, then we become impersonalists.
Yeah. the mantra voice is like sacred, like Gayatri mantra. Why is this Hare Krishna is called Hare Krishna mantra? Nama.
Yeah, it should be Nama, technically. It's a confusion when we say Hare Krishna mantra. But I suppose mantra just says that I understand that it's sacred or whatever for common people. How to reconcile below the seemingly opposing statements on initiation. The Bhakti Lata Bees is the origin of the devotional services. Bhakti Lata Bees is received and one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and later on one does not have to undergo initiation. He actually begins before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Yeah, the first statement is a little bit inaccurate, I think. Definitely it says there that by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one attains the Bhakti Lata Bij. It is not necessary to say Diksha Guru there. So one gets mercy of a devotee, to start the process of chanting with faith. I think that's what it means. The name actually is spiritual. Unless there is very, very great offense, then it's a material sound. If we think that Krishna's name are different, Krishna's material form, etc., and the name of Krishna is only material sound vibration, then it's just a material sound. If it's offenseless chanting, as in the case of Ajamil, it has potency. That means spiritual potency, not material potency. And if it has if it is done with faith, then of course it has more potency. So the name is always spiritual in these cases, but it has less effect because of the various coverings on the jiva and the various contaminations that we have. That's all.
Need
the deities. No, well, you could just hear about Krishna and his form of qualities that way. But as I said, many people may not, when they hear things, maybe they're not so, they can't understand what that means. So if they have a form, then it's easier for them. So in that sense, as I said, it's not that we neglect other processes because hearing is also necessary. Whatever, the main process is the chanting process. Then we have hearing, which does not require initiation. And we have other processes that do not require initiation, like bowing down, putting on tilak, or whatever, does not require initiation. But then the one that does is the deity worship. That requires initiation.
What if the devotee for a lifetime just transfuse and does all service
without
initiation?
If he gets good association, has proper knowledge. This is not like Haridas Thakur, no initiation.
That's an exception?
Huh?
An exception or?
Well, in one sense, it's exceptional because we see, like in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, initiation is mentioned, and then in the Sandarbhas is mentioned, and in Nectar Devotion is mentioned. Not that it's necessary, but it's an Anga Bhakti. So generally, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas take initiation. But as I said, Sarupata, it is not necessary. That's what it says here. So.
Claim what? Responsibility of his disciples, that I can take them back to Lord for the grooming.
Well, it's a little bit, presumptuous. Because actually, it is Krishna that takes everybody ultimately. It's not the guru who does anything. He is only the instrument of Krishna. That's all. So he cannot claim separate powers. Definitely, of course, the Lord gives mercy to the devotees. But ultimately, we should understand that it's all coming from Krishna. whatever power any guru has is actually Krishna. It's coming from Krishna ultimately.
Not that you're saying that it is not depending on the specific diksha and the practice of the deliverance of the material. What kind of deliverance is saying?
Oh, yeah. Even the chandala is delivered.
So that means by chanting the holy name, you can get prema. Not just liberation. Namabhas can give you liberation. Pseudonam can give you prema. No, it doesn't say that. It says diksha. You can take shelter of a spiritual master of shiksha, not just diksha. Here it means diksha. So it says chanting the name and getting the result is not dependent on diksha. Without diksha? Because the name is powerful. That is why. This is the whole principle we've been talking about all week. What are you even hearing? The name is independent of diksha. And diksha means deity worship. So we don't depend on deity worship. Otherwise, deity worship, if it's dependent on deity worship is the yuga dharma, not chanting the holy name. So generally, as I said, deity worship is done as an assistant, just like we associate with devotees and we hear and do so many other processes besides chanting. So we do it, and therefore we do take diksha. But in surupata, in absolute sense, no, holy name is independent of diksha. It does not depend on it ultimately.
So you find that moment when majority of devotees, someone is out in their mind, diksha is the only process of name going to be.
No, that's a misconception.
Also, there will be many devotees in the moment who can be better fueled than the.
In other words, it also just becomes a name for them. I got diksha, you don't have diksha, therefore I'm better. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. Yeah, which is artificial in one sense. But of course, we also have standards for diksha. You should have more knowledge than someone who doesn't have diksha. In that sense, of course, it's better. You have more sambandha gyan, it's better for your bhakti. Yeah, so that's also there, but it's not an absolute standard.
Can I do the apradh
in
deity worship affects chanting?
What's that?
Apradh in deity
worship destroys your bhakti. Of course, the aparads in deity worship, the seva aparads, are not considered to be so serious because usually they're done accidentally and therefore they don't have much effect. Those which are based upon philosophical misconception are worse, like the nama aparads. And we have actually lack of faith and we think that Krishna is not spiritual but material or things like that. These are more offensive.
Also,
ఒక సమయాలు కోపం వచ్చేసింది.